Hey, thank you for tuning into a Comic Talk 616 podcast production. Don't forget, check out comictalk616.weebly.com for all other podcasts produced by us at Comic Talk 616, as well as check out our Facebook with the same name, Comic Talk 616, or our Instagram, comic_talk616, to follow us and keep up with all of our up-to-date, you know, shenanigans and stuff that you might not get to hear about on the podcast. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the show. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Pour Over Podcast, A Best Loeb Story. I'm Jake.
I'm Tom.
And yeah, so we're here at Best Loeb. For those of you who don't know, we're kind of going to do like a limited mini-series about Best Loeb. It's a coffee shop here in Fruta, Colorado. They kind of sponsor our morning show that we do here, and they kind of literally have the best coffee ever. So anyways, you can check out all of Best Loeb's social media.
So our website is at bestloebcoffeeco.com, and I'm going to sound like, you know, like an idiot right now, but I don't social media at all. So I would imagine if you go to the Instagram or if you go to the Facebook and if you just search Best Loeb Coffee, I'm sure you'll find us. We're the one in Fruta. But I don't know how to actually tell you how to get there.
We'll put all the social media links in our description. Yes,
perfect.
For them, so you can just
That's
do
why
the
I
click.
Was nervous initially, and you told me I had to know the social media stuff.
You're fine. You're good. You're good. And so, yeah, so what basically, again, what this podcast is about, it's about the origin and the story of Best Loeb Coffee. Here in Fruta, Colorado, they have won the
Best coffee shop in the Rockies.
In the Rockies.
According to a couple people.
2 years in a row?
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. So, which is kind of a big deal because the Rockies are like a huge expansion, right? From like...
Yeah, I think so.
New Mexico up to like Canada?
Yeah, something like that. And I don't know how many people actually voted, but enough of them voted to give it to us. So
yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
I know. Like I have a buddy who works for Black Rifle, and mm-hmm. I sent him a bag for Christmas, and he's like he's in Salt Lake, so like...
Yeah.
I like spread the gospel.
Ah, thank you. I hope they liked it. They have great coffee.
they love it.
Yeah, good.
You know, yes. And we awesome. Have Alex and I have family members in Mexico
mm-hmm.
that are just like in love with it. So like now, if we go and visit, they expect us to bring a bag.
Oh man.
So
high praise. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's good, man. It's good stuff. We brew it at the shop too for our clients and stuff like that. So,
cool.
You know,
that's awesome.
Can't
we love you guys.
we can't you know have them drink that crappy ass Walmart coffee.
No.
Ugh.
Walmart's not listening.
They've got a couple of things, but they're hard to find.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I guess go ahead and let's get going. Other than what I've explained, what exactly is Best Loeb? Like the nitty gritty. What's the textbook definition?
A textbook definition of Best Loeb Coffee Company. Or Best Loeb as the word, because we get a lot of confusion about the word from people outside of this area. Best Loeb just refers to the region where we are.
The best part of the slope.
The best part of the slope. It's, you know, we live at, you know, essentially the crest of the country, the Continental Divide. Denver and the Front Range being on the eastern side, and Grand Junction and Fruta being on the western side. It's called the Western Slope. And so... We feel the west side of the Continental Divide has more to offer, so we call it the Best Loeb. That's where we stole the name from. We are a coffee shop. We are a coffee roaster, a craft roaster, and we have a bakery. And
which your cookies are fucking bomb.
Oh, thank you.
I remember I tried one like it was like 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know when it was. That I tried one, I was just like, damn.
Yeah, chocolate chip cookies are a staple. And I should begin any conversation with baking with the fact that I baked none of it and never have. So it's the result of really talented people in the kitchen and nothing to do with me at all. But those cookies are great.
Oh, yeah.
They're awesome. Hopefully we'll be able to ship them someday.
Dude, you should.
Yeah, so right now we are a coffee shop, a bakery, and a roaster. And that is what Best Love Coffee Company is.
Sweet. Yeah. No, yeah, it's delicious. I remember I used to live in Ruta with Matt, and mm-hmm. so like I was like a 5-minute walk at any time. Mm-hmm. And then when Alexa and I got the house, we were planning on moving in, but we actually had renters, so we couldn't move in. And so like we ended up moving all the way across town to Clifton temporarily, so they could move out. And
sorry.
So, it's good. Like, yeah. Our shop is on First Street, so like Alexa and I aren't at Dark Valley anymore, so we're on First Street. So like,
oh really?
I could like hop over.
Yeah.
You know, pretty. It's like you know, 10-minute drive, but the house in Redlands is maybe about 6 minutes if I go like through the back way. So
good.
Soon I'll be.
You'll be back in striking distance.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
If I get a really good water balloon launcher, I might be able to hit you.
I hope so. God, I hope you can.
We'll find out.
It stays 100 degrees. I like that.
Jeez. Yeah. So those who you don't know, Best Lope Coffee it's fantastic. I definitely suggest you checking them out. Order some stuff online. You know, support local business or small business or just a good business in general,
yeah.
Especially what's going on.
I'd say support a local business if you're local and a small business if you're not.
Right. You know, and I just want to like take everyone through the story of Best Lope on how it became to be from the start to the critically acclaimed coffee savant wizard that it is.
God damn. All right.
Yeah.
This story will not live up to that billing right there.
Just throw
in
some like ninjas and dragons and
coffee savant wizard. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Now you gotta like make a shirt or
coffee savant wizards. Come visit us.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Or a cup. So I guess let's start with the origin of Best Love. Like where did the idea come from? And then I guess let's go from where did it come from all the way up to the moment the papers got signed, if that's long enough. I don't know.
Signed.
Give us 30 minutes of content.
30, oh Jesus, this is gonna be like maybe 5. But we can come up with some clever stuff to fill the rest,
right.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, it started 5 years ago or so. It actually was probably started longer than that. So I had initially talked to Jen and Ann at the Hot Tomato. And this was just real casually, that this town needed really good ice cream, creamery sort of thing. And this was like 6-7 years ago, probably. And I know at that point, they were really trying to figure out what they wanted to do with the Hot Tomato in terms of expanding, growing more hot tomatoes or whatever. And I had mentioned that to Jen. And in the moment, she was beginning to dabble in, or already dabbling in, business philosophies.
Right, and Jen's the owner of Hot Tomato.
Jen's the owner.
Right, which is probably the best pizza that I've ever had.
It's pretty damn good.
It is super good.
But they were dabbling in business philosophies and the teaching kind of classes and stuff at Zingerman's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the model they used as they kind of grew and became successful as a delicatessen and sandwich shop was not to, carbon copy their delicatessen, but to support the growth of other food-related businesses kind of internally. And so I think that felt, at least it seems to me, that felt to Jen and Ann more what they wanted to do rather than open more Hot Tomatoes, was to stay in Fruta and work with people to open more high quality small business restaurants within Fruta.
Craft.
Yeah, they're
right.
Focused on quality, focused on experience, and that sort of thing. So initially it started as this idea that maybe we could do a creamery or ice cream. And I started really actually diving into numbers and looking at projections and finances. And at that time I was actually a teacher. So I had a full-time job.
Were you teaching here in Fruita?
Yeah, I taught in Junction. I was a teacher for 7 years.
Okay,
here in the
Valley. You actually might know my aunt, Vivian Liebarger.
That sounds familiar. Did she teach? I was in middle school.
Okay, she was in middle school. She did Fruita for a little bit. Same her husband, Mike.
That sounds super familiar. Yeah, I bet I do. It's been a long time. That was a whole other life ago.
it's weird. Normally, like, people see my last name. Yeah. They're like, oh, I know
teacher,
your aunt.
Teacher.
I'm like,
yeah.
Cool.
Oh, that's funny.
Like, everyone in my family like has become some sort of teacher. Like, I went to school for, like, biblical theology.
And so,
I taught a lot of that.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. Yeah. So, like, everyone in my family somehow is, like, a teacher.
Oh, cool.
I don't teach now.
Nah.
I just,
me either.
I make money elsewhere.
Good for you. Yeah, that was, at the time, it was just a hard decision because I had a full-time career with all the benefits, you know, that come with it. And the thing with the creamery, even in the desert, is it's still seasonal. And
right.
So it would have been hard to actually, you know, make the jump out of a stable career and make that work. Exciting as it was.
Yeah, so where did the idea of a creamery come from? Because it's
my love of ice cream, that's all.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're just like, you know what's really good? Fucking ice cream.
Fucking ice cream's really good. Yeah, and actually, even now, I think that's still in our minds, is trying to make that work. And I think
as
trying.
As long as you have like a Cloud 9 flavored ice cream or like mocha mint.
You just wait. We've been talking, I know we've been saying this for probably a year and a half now.
It was.
That is something that we're really, really, really trying to make work here soon.
He's not new, but the new guy. Trevor?
Here?
Yeah.
Cameron,
yes.
Yeah. He's only been here about a year and a half.
Right, so, man, time flies.
Yeah.
One time I was just like, just make me whatever sounds good.
Yeah.
We made something spicy and we ended up calling it the Cuban Missile Crisis.
That's
but
right.
That would be
delicious
as an ice cream. Just something like spicy though with a hint of coffee.
See? And that's why we were thinking ice cream. Because once you start talking about ice cream, people just get so goddamn excited.
Yeah.
I'm
ready for it.
Now you're ready, yeah. Yes. So that's where it started and kind of ended. Just with the financial piece of it feeling more uncertain. And so probably a year after that kind of went by the wayside, it was literally the first week of school. I have, my son was still in my wife's, you know, belly at the time. And I ran into Jen at True Value.
She was a baker then.
Jen?
Yeah.
No.
Because she had one in the oven.
Oh, no, Jen didn't. No, my wife. Yeah, my wife did.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. She was still baking. Yeah, she's cooking that thing. So I ran into Jen and she's like, hey, we have an idea. And of course, she had mentioned, at this point they were talking to Brett, who was, you know, the roaster for the first 4 years, about this kind of craft coffee business and that they were looking for a partner, somebody who would want to, you know, take on an ownership role. And I was at that point, like I said, first week back to school, I was all excited that, like, beginning a school thing, had a kid coming, so had stability. And so, of course, I was like, that sounds great, but there's not a chance in hell. And then about a month into the school year, I messaged her back and said, hey, let's do it. I just got, you know,
screw these
worn
kids.
Down. Yeah, forget the kids. Nah, the kids were great. I was done. I was done with teaching. And then just excited, you know, the thing about, you know, kind of taking on a business with Jen and Ann as mentors is that the Hot Tomato is such an important part of the community. I think the piece of education where you get to build community and in some way help people, it felt like that I wouldn't be missing that.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Especially, I would say, for both Best Loaf and Hot Tomato, it's kind of I know when Alex and I have friends or family in town, mm-hmm. like the two places we go is here.
Oh, good.
And then Hot Tomato.
Yes.
Right,
because that's
like,
awesome.
I have a buddy who comes from Denver,
yeah.
And the first time we came, I was like, dude, you have to try this coffee shop.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And it's like, we try it. And so now every time we come here, he's like, so we're going to Best Slope.
Yeah, good.
So
that's awesome.
You might have seen him. He's like the skinny white dude with the face tats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his name's Butthole.
Yeah, his name's what?
Butthole.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's because he's got a tattoo, you know.
On his butthole?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Or near it.
That's not his given name, then.
if you see him, you can yell it out.
I can call.
Like, he'll respond.
Oh, that's fantastic! All right, I'll enjoy.
Just in general, like, just like we always take family and friends there because, like I said, it's a I didn't grow up in Fruita,
yeah.
right? But like growing up in the Western Slope, I spent a lot of time here because like the church I was going to was here, or like near here, and just like friends and stuff like that. And so, yeah, they're absolutely staples of the community, and just like the experience is always good. Like I don't think I've ever had a bad pizza or a bad experience either here or Hot Tomato.
That's
and it's
the
just
goal.
Like
they happen. We try to make it as rare as possible,
right? Especially when you're trying to be like, "Hey, your city's cool," but like, have you ever had like small town craft foods?
yeah.
You know, and you're just trying to like, you're trying to show off a little.
Well, that's I think that's the goal. Is we have so much.
Just make everyone else look dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's my life goal altogether.
Right.
No, you know, I've heard of the kind of momentum with the mountain biking and the outdoor rec in this area, just has made. You know, the tourist traffic grow exponentially in the last few years.
Right.
But I think what we're finding is there was room for more establishments. People were looking for, like, a local craft roaster. People want, you know, those kind of high-quality products in their small-town experience. And so we wanted to take advantage of that and kind of, you know, proliferate the momentum that was already happening.
And have a small town spot,
yeah.
I definitely agree with that, because, like, Rarick, the guy who owns over at the Edge Sports, I went to high school and college with his son, Jordan.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, Kim and I grew up together.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
Like, yeah, we're super close, and so I definitely see that, like, Fruita, it has, like, this weird, like, special thing where like they've been able to keep out a lot of big corporate names,
mm-hmm.
but rely on craft, small business, and local businesses that
absolutely
drawn a lot of tourism. That survival, which I what this town does for small business is amazing, because very little do I see small businesses fail in Fruita, because it seems like the city almost like refuses to let small business fail.
I think the community is is amazing here. You know, the last 6 months have been just fucking wild.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I mean, looking back to February, and we were all planning to get ready for this, you know, record-breaking busy season, and God, shit just went off the rails. But, you know, we were able, as a quote-unquote essential business, coffee's essential.
Because it's addicting.
It's addicting. Dude, yeah, absolutely.
I straight up have a problem. When I was still, like, an executive for T-Mobile,
mm-hmm.
or I was kind of transitioning out of that, and I was going to like work for some local guy. I remember I was fasting, and like I made the worst decision to like actually fast coffee, and one lady thought I was coming off of heroin, so
it's shaking.
I was like, I had to like have like a spiritual discussion with myself, like, okay, fasting's good,
mm-hmm.
but never again with coffee. Like,
yeah,
I need it. Well, it's good. An addiction.
It is an addiction. And
but it's healthy, and it tastes great, so...
It's healthy. It's good for you.
Methamphetamine or, like, really nice coffee.
There's worse vices, absolutely.
Coffee's actually healthy
for
you. Yeah,
it is. It's good for
you. Helps you poop. It tastes good. You have a good attitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, coffee's great. And we we love it. But we, you know, when things started getting crazy and businesses are closing and, you know, we had to... Luckily, you know, the humans that I work with are incredible people and flexible.
Except for Core.
Yeah, except for Core.
He's kind of the worst.
Yeah, that guy. No, even Core. They were all just, you know, we had to do some pretty drastic things. And I think because of kind of the mindfulness of staff, we were a step ahead of most everything. You know, we shut down the shop and opened up for some weird window services, you know. We're still doing.
I think it was like a day you guys were closed.
Yeah.
Like, even if
we didn't even close it. We didn't close at all. We did all that on the fly. But, you know, everything that we do doesn't really matter if we don't have people come into the door.
Right.
And so we were able to adjust things, make it as safe as possible. But the support that the community showed was just incredible. And, like, people coming and not just like, here's $3 for coffee, but like, here's $3 and how are you guys holding up? Are you doing okay?
Right.
Or here's $3 for my coffee and $20 for tip. And it just was insane how kind everybody was.
No, absolutely. We've seen the same thing at the shop, because when we left Dark Valley, which was rough, you know, but we started the remodel and opened up a week before quarantine. Mm-hmm. And then like right as we like started getting momentum, quarantine hit, so we had to shut down. And luckily we had enough people that were like supporting us opening that like we actually had a ton of deposits throughout quarantine, we were able to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely agree.
That's, yeah, we are, I think that's, not that people in cities aren't kind, but I think you just feel more connected to the small businesses around you in a smaller town, which is amazing.
I know for sure, like, I've definitely been trying to shop more local, or at least small business-wise for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Consciously, because I'm just like, Walmart's cool and all. And it's super frustrating, too, because then it's just like they're following all these, I don't want to say it, like these dumb rules that you're like, okay, this really doesn't work.
Right.
You know, it's kind of redundant.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's just like you want to kind of like avoid those places because, one, you know they're not treating their employees very well.
Right.
And like they don't even have the supplies you need.
Right.
And so, like, you know, supporting small businesses from going closed.
Yeah.
I've definitely, for us, we've been way more conscious on like conscious of shopping locally and supporting that, you know.
Good.
I think Fruit is even doing that too, because they're building this weird outdoor patio thing that I saw in the news.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's supposed to help social distance, but what I saw the plans, I was like, it seems more like trying to keep people together.
Yeah.
Within reason, like.
Yeah, safely kind of together.
Right, that, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
I think,
like an excuse to hang out more.
Yeah.
But without compromising, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I think that's, you know, the other side of it. You'd mentioned that, you know, it feels like the city government doesn't let small businesses fail. And, you know, obviously they're not like, they're not throwing money at us to prop us up. But what, you know, we have is a city government that is
emotionally supporting.
They're here, they're out in their community, and they're doing shit. And that's the thing.
Surprising for a lot of small governments or just government in general, because they're just like, oh,
yeah,
cool. But Fruit is really taking different stances. It's like,
absolutely.
No, it takes a village.
Yeah, it does. And I think being open to stupid ideas, because we just have, like, we were sitting in, you know, a shipping container that had to be installed and all these building codes met and everything. And I think for a lot of, you know, city governments and municipalities, sometimes crazy ideas just feel overwhelming, but I'm sure it does for our people here too, but they're great about saying, let's make it work, not, you know, here's everything wrong with what you're doing. It's here's what we need to address, and let's make it work. And we're really lucky. I mean, they're trying shit. You know, they want to have outdoor seating and spaces where people can take, you know, coffee or beer or wherever, and kind of ease the
like
seating restriction, the burdens from that.
Like, to me, it's like a legitimate city patio.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's, and like, honestly, even without quarantine, that's a fucking dope idea.
That's a great idea.
It's
beautiful.
I hope that they just kind of get rid of that road altogether and just have like a yearly or seasonal, just, or even just all around, you know, maybe put a couple fire pits out there, just like a city patio where, like, people can just take their food from Suds or Hot Tomato or here and just kick
just
it.
Hang out. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's huge. But, you know, we're just lucky to have people who come and talk to us. Even before that, you know, Dan, who kind of was planned out, I could be wrong, maybe I am, but, you know, seemed to be planning and really, you know, spearheading that project. You know, came and reached out to all the business owners, and, you know, I'm sure that's hard to do. Looking at it, they are blocking a road coming to us. And, you know, to oversimplify, you could think, oh, people won't be able to park here. But it's not, you know, things obviously are more complex than that. And we're, you know, taking a step back and saying, we have a bunch of people in our city government who give a shit and want to actually do stuff. That's a gift. And,
right.
We should be happy and thankful for that.
Right.
Because, we you know, get mad at them and yell at them too much. Then
lose parking.
Yeah.
Gain a patio. I mean,
well, yeah,
everyone parks at City Hall.
Right. And that's the thing. Like I said, it's kind of you know, looking at these two little side street roads and just a fraction of them, and I think, you know, just grossly oversimplifies, you know, customers and their habits to assume that cutting off one way to get to Best Loaf Coffee is going to have a, you know, there's a detrimental effect. I think that's
no.
Wrong. Yeah, that's
not. I love that idea, honestly.
Yeah.
It's like,
there's
it's a very minor inconvenience.
There's a fucking yurt going in on the street in Fruita. It's amazing. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the yurt?
No.
They didn't show the yurt?
No.
Yeah, it was going to be a yurt.
Dude, heck it. Yeah, no.
Dan got his yurt.
I remember that, because I remember for a while, the main podcast, we were doing movie nights here. Popping up movies, watching cheesy, scary monster movies. And I think it's really cool that, like, because there's that sense of community, just being able to just do shit like that without, like, the red tape and just the nonchalantness. Like I said, I think that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to kind of do this Best Lip story, is because you come in here and there's an actual, like, genuine feeling of community, whether you're visiting for just to mountain bike, or you're with your friends or family, or you're local. You genuinely walk in here and it's this, like, sense of community.
Yeah,
like, it's your coffee shop, your spot.
Good.
You know,
that's the goal.
I know I've literally written my entire book here, I think, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a little, like, poetic set of poems actually called Coffee Shop Stories.
Seriously?
That I wrote here. Yeah.
That's right.
So
I can't wait to read it.
Sure.
Awesome. Maybe.
It's all right. It's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like, it's good. It's a good sense of thing. And I really, like, I guess if there's a goal of this podcast is to, one, hopefully bring you a little bit of business, either through e-commerce just through there, or just in general, like, maybe inspire people to be more community-based with their craft that they're doing.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of take your model of goodness. Coffee wizard savantness.
Yeah. Coffee, I mean, you know, you'll notice in the origin story that I don't have a rich history of craft coffee in my background. And
Which is cool, though.
Yeah, and so I still have a chemistry and biology degree. So, like, the science behind it all was interesting and exciting to me. And so all that was kind of just, you know, out of love for measuring shit. But the rest of it, I think, you know, that sense of community, like, a good product that's super important, to be able to deliver a great product, deliver it consistently. I think that's, you know, gotta be one of the hooks you hang your hat on in craft business. But it doesn't matter how great your coffee is, if the experience blows, then no one's
right.
coming back. And, but it can't, it also has to be some genuine gratitude. And so my philosophy is just to think, you know, that the customers who are coming in, whether they've been here 100 times or it's their first time, they're coming to us with, you know, $5, $6, $10 that they went to work, for many people, a job that they don't like doing. They're literally selling the seconds of their life for money. And they're bringing that to us and are hoping that we'll be able to give them something that's worth that to them. And so, I mean, with that in mind, it seems completely ridiculous and disrespectful to meet every transaction with anything but gratitude, no matter where they're coming from. So that's kind of, I think, like, the ground level where we like to kind of start our
philosophy
here.
Right.
Is gratitude.
I absolutely agree with that. So when I discovered Best Lip, Matt and I were sitting at home, and I think we had to do a podcast meeting, right? Because we were talking about doing a weekly, like, morning show anyways, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, we were like, okay, let's hammer out the details. What is this going to look like, right? This quick little 20-minute, 15-minute Facebook live show that we're going to do, because with comic book news, there's so much, and we can't fit it all
right.
in an hour and a half anyways. So Matt's like, oh, yeah, there's this coffee shop by, you know, the courthouse or City Hall. Let's go check it out. And so he's just like, yeah, let's go here, you know, and get it. And he's like, it's all right. And I'm like, okay, so we came, I think we all just kind of ordered, I think we just did dealer's choice. And that's when we met Max, right?
Yeah.
We had a whole conversation with Max, and we were actually blown away by the experience that, like, Steve, Matt and I, we were just like, we have to work with these guys. Like,
yeah.
I don't care. We don't care. Like,
that's
there's
great.
Any payment or anything like that. Like,
yeah.
We just have to be involved with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course we talked to Max and,
yeah.
you know, you guys were, like, going to host the Midweek Nerdy News Break and then the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster and movie nights. And so it kind of, like, that's kind of like our origin story tying in with our involvement of you. And so I absolutely see that. Cause, like, from the moment
that's
we stepped
fantastic.
In, like, that was absolutely prevalent. And it was like, okay, morally, these guys are good. Like,
yeah,
it'd be.
Did you hear that, Max? Morally, you're good.
Morally. But in every other way.
In every other, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's actually probably a great place to jump up to, because we, I mean, obviously Jen and Anna Tomato taught me, I learn immense amounts of business from them. Everything from how to create an experience and an environment that people want to be in and all that. But I think we got super lucky when Max came in. He was...
Was he the first?
He was the first. He was our first. I knew of him from Over the Edge. So, you know, Troy's bike shop. Go back to that. Max, after he moved here, had worked there for about like 5 years. And I knew him from that because I take my bike in there. And I just remember, you know, walking in there and Max, you know, greeting me like he had known me for years.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure he had no idea who I was. And
right.
He probably remembered me because he had some weird memory that he could remember.
And he makes it a point to get to know you, too. Because like one time I was walking down the street with my kid.
Yeah.
And he, like, popped out of nowhere to say hi. I'm like, oh, shit, where'd you come from?
Absolutely. So, you know, the week before we opened, we just finally started hiring. And Max kind of just showed up on the front step. And he had left Over the Edge a couple of months before that to try to do something different. And he pretty much like walked in and handed me the application. And he said, if you don't hire me, I'm going to end up being here every day anyway. So you might as well just hire me and you know, your life will be a lot easier. You can at least then tell me what to do. And so it was,
it's like, I'm gonna
at that point, I was like, yeah, okay, sure. How can I say no to that? And just knowing him and, you know, him being already kind of ingrained into the community, I think that was the one of many lucky breaks. Because he does embody that sort of philosophy and environment that we wanted. Like, he genuinely cared about people. And, you know, in terms of, like, learning names, learning about things. And, you know, he was fantastic. And I think he really... he took a large burden off of me right off the bat. But then, you know, a week after that, we hired Tori. And Tori's still here.
Right.
4 years later. And the same thing, Tori's been, you know, just like a rock, kind of consistently
helps
the conscience
the,
of.
Yeah, it really just helps set the tone of the shop. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
They definitely do a good job on. Or they've done
a
good job of setting a tone at the shop, and like, it's contagious because it's like everyone that works here like adapts that same attitude.
Absolutely, yeah. They really gave a shit when they started, and those two, I think, you know, having those two at the very beginning, you know, whether or not it would have worked, I'm sure we probably could have limped along and struggled, but you know, me personally having to learn how to own a business and still working in the business, having those two just really gave a shit was huge, and that's I think been the case the whole time, is a staff that just gives a shit. And so, you know, Tori and Max were the first two people we hired, and had a couple very part-time people who were awesome, mostly, you know, Hot Tomato employees. And then I think the end of the first year, a few months open, we hired Devin, who's now bakery manager.
Right.
And so
she does the...
Oh, yeah, those bomb-ass cookies, that's Devin.
Right.
I
knew Devin was doing the bomb-ass cookies.
Yep. She does that.
On the menu,
does,
it should just say bomb-ass cookies.
It should, yeah, absolutely. And so all the web... She also is a graphic designer, so all the web stuff. She does all of our... pretty much our internet presence. You know, Tori works the social media piece, but all the website and... online store is all Devin as well.
Sweet.
You'll notice the theme here. I don't do much, JK. I paint boxes. And,
Someone's got to be the box painter, man.
Somebody's got to paint the metal walls in the roasting box. But yeah, you know, jumping ahead to the first little bit where Max and Tori came on, I think that did set the tone. You had two people that really cared, and they wanted... They saw this beyond just giving people coffee and leaving. I think, you know, all of us want more meaning from the day to day than like, thank you, here's your coffee, we appreciate you, but you know, that's all fine and good. But
right, because your day starts with
yeah,
a cup of coffee.
Absolutely, like. And to be able to provide some degree of service, but also to be able to reap some sort of, you know, I guess, spiritual benefit from providing service to people.
No,
is important too.
Absolutely, there is. I absolutely agree. Like on my end of like of the tattoo shop, you'll have to come by and check it out sometime.
Oh yeah. That must be recent, because I guess this was.
That was Dark Valley.
This was Dark
right.
Valley.
So,
was that December? So it must have been before you.
Yeah, we left in March.
Got it. Okay.
Only because like, because Alexa does all the comic book tattoos, and so like there's a spot next to the comic book store.
Yeah.
And it was the same amount for her booth rent there,
cool.
So we were just like,
gotcha.
Why?
Yeah.
It was hard because like we didn't want to leave everyone.
Yeah.
But when the same amount of booth rent we were paying there.
Right.
Was the same for our own spot next to the comic book store, which is the people we want to bring in. We were like,
that makes sense. You would be dumb not to.
And so we did.
Yeah.
But absolutely, I think it's just like, if someone leaves our business and they don't feel like their life has changed just a tiny bit, even
mm-hmm.
if it's just for that day.
Yeah.
Was it worth it? It doesn't matter if the money came in, because it's like, then they're not going to come back. Like,
right.
We want them to have such a good experience that they continue to come back, and we continue to just... But I guess my spiritual philosophy, like, if you have a business, like, then you're a leader in the community, right?
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And the whole idea and point of leading is to actually serve. And if you can't serve the people that you're providing for...
Right.
Why do it?
That's a great question.
That's
why we get along so well.
Right. And so that's kind of like my whole thing is just like, so if we don't, and of course, stuff happens sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for everyone. Maybe personalities don't fit, whatever.
Right.
But in general, it's just like, if no one walks away, like, this was a really good experience, thank you so much, and you don't get the sense of like you served them and made their day, what was the point?
Right.
That money wasn't worth it, because then it's like, it's just a dollar. It doesn't have spiritual value.
Sure. Absolutely.
And then that's how you get worn out and like tired of what you're doing, because if that dollar doesn't have a spiritual value tied in with the monetary,
right,
it's not worth it, man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You have to, there has to be, you know, some sort of two-way exchange in every transaction.
Equivalent exchange.
Yeah.
Alchemy.
Yeah, absolutely. Alchemy. That's right. We're giving coffee, but we have to somehow, I don't know if that sounds strange, but you know, I'd like that our staff gets something from those transactions too. Some sort of, I don't know, refilling the spiritual cup, I guess.
Right.
That means. It makes it easier to come to work every day when you feel like there's some purpose.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. It feels like the people that work here love what they're doing.
They do.
You know,
I hope, at least. They've got me fooled if they don't.
Right.
Which
I guess,
yeah.
I mean, they're still doing their job then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's great. And I mean, so we had, you know, pretty early on, we had, you know, Tori already here. Max has left a year and a half ago or so. I don't know where he is now, doing something important, I'm sure, or unimportant. But, you know, we had Devin and Tori pretty early, and then Cord. And actually, to give Max credit, you know, Cord he's the shop sort of coffee and manager, front of house manager, and then does all the roasting as well. You know, he was, you know, maybe sometime in 2017 we hired him. And actually, Max, I hadn't met Cord. Cord had come in a couple times and gave Max his application and talked to him, and Max, you know, gave it to me and was like, you need to hire this kid. So I was like, okay, we're looking to hire somebody, and it worked out, and thankfully we did. And so, I mean, pretty early, like, our staff was here. So Tori does, she's like our human resources sort of front of house manager. Cord does coffee end and all the roasting, and Devin does all the kitchen and all online stuff. And they've all been here for, you know, years now. Even our, you know, the rest of our staff have, you know, we just hired somebody. We actually hired somebody right before all the COVID stuff and kind of had to put that on hold. And she just finally started about a month ago. But before we hired her, our new employees were, you know, almost a year a year in when she started. So that, I think, is an important part of building that community, is having some consistency up front so that there's people for the community to build that relationship with.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, that's, it's a coffee shop, and turnover traditionally in those sorts of service industries is pretty high, and we've been lucky to not have that.
Right, I think. A lot of times traditionally it's college kids who are there for
right.
a season,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, high school kids for a summer job. And,
yeah.
and the fact that you have consistent faces and names that
mm-hmm.
genuinely love their job, you know, want to build community,
mm-hmm.
And establish friendships and relationships is...
Yeah.
You don't see that in a lot of business.
It's, I mean, it's a priority. I think that comes from, you know, a lot of what I've learned from Jen and Ann is how to...
Give a shit.
And if you give a shit, people will give a shit around you, I think. So yeah, that's kind of warp speed the last 4 years, but that brings us to now.
Right, yeah.
Here we are.
A little condensed of the...
Yeah, unless you want me to talk more about some...
No, absolutely, and
okay.
I think next week it'd be awesome if, you know, maybe getting Cord on and
oh, yeah.
kind of taking from his take on the first few years of...
Yeah.
For the
well,
part two
just
of
let me
origin.
Give me a couple weeks to make sure I tell him exactly what
oh,
to
yeah.
say.
Absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
Give him the talking.
Oh, like written on his
where,
hand.
Yeah, and I'll just be standing right here by him,
just like staring at him.
Yeah.
No, but it's a fantastic place, and like I said, I'm super excited to get the story, whether it seems mundane or not, or unexciting. I think just the sense of community that I feel like people are going to get out
good.
Of this. I think I mean,
so.
Hopefully it could like it'll be good.
I hope
it'll
so.
Good, you
yeah.
know? And it'll be cool to, for like everyone who are fans of the shop and stuff like that to get a cool
yeah.
perspective, like a behind the scenes perspective.
Yeah. Wow, Tom is as boring as he seems to be. Yeah, he's,
you know,
he is actually that boring.
Maybe not everyone knows the story, or maybe
yeah.
you know, maybe they don't know the secret.
Yeah, the whole background
behind
the secret. Book. Yeah, the secret is there's a lot of awesome people around.
The secret is
here.
The cocaine.
The secret, yeah. Aside from the heavy drug use, the secret is the people, you know, all the people around it, obviously.
Right.
Learning from. And, like, I go back, you know, when we decided to leave my teaching job, I had a kid on the way. So the risk was enormous. And the fact that my wife supported it, I look back at that and I just, like, man, she's I'm a lucky guy. I don't know how many people have said, oh, yeah, with our kid on the way, absolutely leave your stable job. That's a great idea, Tom. Go open a coffee shop. So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky in that.
Oh, yeah. No, I...
There's a bunch of people that made this possible, least of which is me.
Yeah, which is super awesome.
It is.
So, yeah, guys, continue to be a lookout. We're going to... This is going to be a short little, you know, not anthologic, limited run, but we're going to... try to give you as much of the best loop story as we can. Look out for the origin of the startup part two, and then kind of go from there. Again, feel free to check out Best Slope's website at, I'm assuming, Best Slope.
BestSlopeCoffeeCo.com.
.com.
That's the one.
Order some stuff, order some shit. They got more than just coffee. They've got socks, shirts.
Cups. Yeah, we got cups, which I think we're going to have some new designs coming in soon. We're also looking at coffee subscriptions, and we're probably partnering with a third party to be involved in some subscription stuff too. So
there you go, a coffee subscription. That will be dope. I would love to
sign up
more about that. But until next time, I thank you guys for tuning in to this week's episode of the official name The Pour Over Podcast.
Pour Over. We want to pour over.
: A Best Slope Story. I'm Jake.
I'm Tom.
And you guys have a great week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Pour Over. Hey, if you really enjoyed what you listened to and you're really enjoying Best Slope, I definitely suggest by going to BestSlopeCoffeeCo.com and ordering some of their coffee. They've got this Mexico blend that's got just a phenomenal aroma and amazing taste, as well as be sure to find them on Facebook, give them that like, you know, and kind of follow them and keep up to date with what's happening with the shop and, you know, deals and merchandise that might be coming out for them, as well as all the behind the scenes stuff and cool happenings on their Instagram at bestslopecoffee_co. And you'll know it's them by finding the little bear icon that is their logo. As well as don't forget to, again, check out comictalk616.weebly.com or to find us on all the social media to check out other Comic Talk 616 productions and podcasts. You guys have a great week.